Today, our gospel reading is from Matthew 25, 31 through 46, and it can be found on page 1542 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly, I will tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on the left, "Depart from me. You are cursed until the eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I will tell you, whatever you did not for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, you have agreed to meet us here at this table, a place where we gather to find your love and grace, a place we are strengthened and supported to serve you in all we do. May the meditations of my mouth and the hearts be worthy to you, O Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Before I get into my sermon proper, I do want to announce our stewardship campaign. We've already kind of mentioned on it, Rooted in the Vine, and you have seen that our vines have been growing wildly each Sunday. And it's been pretty exciting to see this growth that's happening. And I'm hoping that we as a church model that. And in the spirit of this, our stewardship cards this year will come to you in this beautiful purple envelope. And then you will open them up and you will see, oh my gosh, what's inside but a bunch of grapes. And on the other side is your pledge card. As a symbol of what we are hoping to accomplish here in the next 5 to 10 years in the life of this church, to bear good fruit, to prune back where we need to prune back, but also so that we can grow even more in the next coming year. So look for your grapes coming in the next week with a letter from me and the stewardship team sharing our hope for next year and the years to come. So I wanted to alert you about that. So when Ann and I moved from an apartment, we had been apartment dwellers our entire life. After we got married, we lived in an apartment in Indianapolis. It was great. And then when we moved to Columbus, Indiana, we said, we're going to buy a house. And as most people who have lived in their apartments their whole life, they take a look at the furniture in their life and they go, oh no, we don't have what we need for a house. So we had to go out and buy a few things, right? We had to have a buffet for our china. Right? Oh yeah, beautiful. And we had to get a new refrigerator. And we had to get some living room furniture. We had to get all these things that you have to have at a house so that it's not completely empty and people go, do you live here? But the one thing that was most important that we had to buy at our house was our dining room table, right? As a kid, go ahead, hit that picture for us there, Roger. There we go. As a kid, that's me and my brother. As a kid, the table was a food delivery device. Okay, right? I think all of y'all can resonate with this. When you're a kid, you don't want to be at the table a very long time. You want to have your massive drink. I have, and pizza apparently, and Ritz crackers. Was what we were snacking on. We were at my Grammy's house, and I know for a fact she was giving us whatever we ever wanted. but let me tell you, I'm sure we were watching TV, by the way, there. But I wanted to be at the table the least amount of time possible because I wanted to get back to what I was doing before my parents called me to the table, right? And I never understood when I was at my grandparents' house and we had a party. And they would all have the food, and we'd eat, and they'd have dessert, we'd have cake, all this. And they would sit around this table for hours. What is wrong with you? Why do you want to be at this table for hours? The food's been taken away. There's nothing left on this table to do. It wasn't until later that I realized that tables weren't only for eating. There was something more to what was happening at these tables that as a kid I just didn't get. Now, a couple months ago, Al Goldberg was up here and we were saying goodbye to Al because he was moving down to Florida to be closer to his brother. And he got up here and shared a little bit about what this church has meant to him. And one of the things he shared with us was this invitation he received from Sue Maddox and Dick Maddox for a Thanksgiving meal. And when you heard Al sharing this story, you knew immediately that that invitation didn't mean a lot to him because he got to feed his belly, right? Because he got a good meal. That invitation meant something to him because of the love and the grace and the hospitality that Sue and Dick offered him. And how powerful of a witness that was. That this table is not something that you just get fed at, but it's a place that you're fed not only physically, but spiritually. It's a place where relationships are built, are strengthened, are formed. When Ann and I, go ahead and hit the next picture, Roger. I was thinking about, this is my family. And that's my granddad that died this last year. And I think about gathering around that table and what that meant. For the last several years, I told my family, I'm not buying you Christmas gifts anymore. I'm done. I'm done buying you stuff. What I want to buy you is an opportunity for us all to get together. So I'm going to buy us dinner so that we can get together. And I don't care where it is. Our last few years, we bought a hibachi grill. Right? So we can gather around the hibachi grill, which is also a table, right? Sorry, I'm crying a lot here. Apologize. And that was our Christmas gift to each other, because that meant more to me than a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to forget what you got last year. It was an experience. It was a time for us to build our relationship. So we did get a table at Ann and I got a table. Flip to the next one, Roger. And we got a table. And it became, at that house, sorry. It became a gathering place for visiting friends and family. Yeah, y'all got tissue? Grab me a tissue real quick.
Yes, we're trying to find it.
Thank you. Sorry. I apologize. I need to... It became a gathering place, and this is our good friend, Dr. Wise, who's a professor at IU. And that's little Henry boy. And Dr. Wise was talking, and Henry could not stop talking back. And all he could say was, why? And it's a place that we met and had a lot of folks that we loved dearly and still do. And then me and Ann became the people, the adults that I didn't understand as a kid, sitting around the table, talking for hours at a time, enjoying the conversation so much that you didn't want it to end. And the food was just an excuse to gather around the table so we could find connection with each other, right? Now, this church has a lot of tables. I did not bother counting them all this week, but I certainly could have. But seemingly every room has some type of table. Our library has a table. We have a table here. We have a table back there. We have a table in the classrooms and go on and on and on and on. And some of these tables, kids gather around to learn. Some are bells are rested on, right? Some provide food or provide space for a meeting or two. And we have this table here. This table that's not an altar, but a place that feeds us physically and spiritually. We don't believe this is a place of continual sacrifice. This is a place where God says, I'm going to meet you here. I'm going to reconnect with you here, and you're going to connect with me, and you're going to connect with one another. So every Sunday that we take communion, we have this chance to reconnect with God, to strengthen the bonds that we have been given. Our mission as a church is built around this idea of gathering around the table to be fed. And in all we do, we gather people together to worship, to eat, to serve, to study, to pray, to witness, so that we may strengthen our bonds with one another and with God. And this is what it means to be community. Seeking the welfare of one another and pointing to something greater than ourselves in God and Jesus Christ. This is why in this story from Matthew, Jesus is so emphatic about don't miss an opportunity to serve those in need. Don't miss the opportunity, the chance to build relationships with others who are in need. Those who are around you who are sick, who are in prison, hungry, thirsty, naked. Because whether you know it or not, when we seek to connect with those in need, we're connecting with Christ. I can remember when I was at my last church, before I had kids and I had a lot of really great free time, I was able to go play ultimate frisbee with this group of kids. They were young guys. A lot of them were trying to get solidified in this world. They were all kind of in-betweeners. Some of them went to college. Most of them didn't go to college, but they were all trying to figure out this life thing. And we got together and played Frisbee. And I just went out there just to play. I didn't tell them I was a pastor. I didn't tell them anything. I just said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to just hang out and get some exercise, have some fun. So, of course, eventually we all, through Frisbee, got to know each other pretty well, and it was great. And they saw me as a pastor, and they knew I was a pastor, and I told them. 2 years into that, one of the guys went to prison. He got picked up because this guy, a buddy of his, said we can break into this house and steal some money real quick and come in, and he went with him. He shouldn't have done it. His dad frantically was trying to find me. He said, you're the only person he wants to see. I asked if he wanted to see my pastor. He didn't want to see my pastor. He doesn't know him. He knows you. And so I said, okay, I'll go. And you go to a place like that, and it is everything you've seen in the movies. It is gross. It is terrible. It is like just like a dank basement, concrete, I mean, industrial, just terrible, you know. It's like a movie. And they bring them in, and we're at a table. We're at a table. And that was God's table at that moment. For that moment that he needed to share what he was sharing, his mom was dying and he was in jail and he couldn't get out. And there was no way he was getting out. He shouldn't have got out because he did something crazy. He shouldn't have done that. But he needed to talk. And at that moment, there was an opportunity to connect, an opportunity to reflect God's love, to form connection with. And sometimes being at table is hard. We don't always get along at the table, do we? We have these family gatherings, and sometimes it's really hard because we don't always agree. And we're mad at each other. We're passionate. But we still form a relationship. We share. So Jesus tells us in Matthew 25, don't miss a chance. Strengthening these ties that bind is the work that we have been called to. Our mission council has worked really hard this year to build those connections. We've had two opportunities this last summer to hear from two of our missionaries that we served, hear their stories, reflect on them, share our blessings to them. And we also shared stories about how we participate in Peace USA special offerings that make a difference not only in the U.S., but around the world. And you're going to have further chance to hear about those at our mission meal in October, on the October 30th. Our mission study talked a lot about what it means for us to build connections with our Fayette County food pantry that we house here. Thanking those who make it possible and inviting others to be a part of the work that we do. In 2015, the pantry fed 9,255 people. Our mission study asks us as a church, how may we connect more with those we are serving? They're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They are at our doors. They are around table downstairs. Right below here, right below this sanctuary, they are at table. How might we start building connections with the patrons of our pantry that seek to feed not only physically, but spiritually? It starts with a conversation. Conversation around a table, a warm cup of coffee, seeking to see Christ in the other person, just like Matthew 25 tells us. So scholars tell us that when the canes come out of the vine, the branches come out of this vine, they completely encircle one another as they grow out. They encircle one another very similarly as they come across out of this vine, protecting each other, around each other, supporting each other. I want us to take that model for who we are as a church. Each one of you seeking to encircle one another in the love and the grace that you find at the table. Take these opportunities, no matter what table you are at, to build relationship. To not see the table as just a food delivery device, but a place where we meet God. A place where we meet one another and find love and grace in all that we do. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.